even deeper things about you, Jesus. But help us to be simple. Simply focus on you. This is the true food of God. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Oh, I feel that we live on you, Jesus. We feast on you. Your word says some challenging things, like you got to feast on his flesh and drink of his blood. We do that, Lord. We need you, Jesus. We live and breathe and move and have our being in you. Everything is in you. You're the vine and we're the branches, Jesus. Lord, we find our life in you. You sustain us. Sustain us this morning with your word. Sustain us with the power of your word, your living word. This is life to our bones. We praise you, Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Are you glad the fast is over? The fast has been good. Yeah, come on, give it a hand clap. Yeah, we're glad. The fast is always good. The Lord has revealed some stuff to us during this time of fasting, and I'm excited. I will put a plug in here real fast for Serve Team Rally. If you've not signed up for Serve Team Rally, I think pretty much everybody here has, but if you've not signed up for Serve Team Rally, you can do that. It's February 5th, so next Sunday, 5 to 8 p.m. at Feta Pizza in the party room upstairs. It's going to be a great time. The Lord has revealed some things to Caitlin and I during this fast. We're going to talk about those and share them, about the vision for the future, about what the Lord wants us to do on Wednesday nights. I won't go into too much detail but what he wants us to do for Wednesdays, for midweeks. You know, you've heard me say it over and over again that this is not just going to be a come and see church. This will be a go and tell church. You know, the Bible says go into the highways and the byways and the hedges and compel people into the house of God. And that's what it takes. And even if it makes it feel uncomfortable, I'll be honest with you, it's been a while since I've done something like that. But when God puts us in that place where we're a little bit uncomfortable, it stretches us. Amen? And he's going to use us for his glory. And even we might not feel the measure of it, like it's so thick in here, we might not feel that measure outside. God lives on the inside of you. He's commissioned you and he's empowered you to be where you're at. And if you call on the name of Jesus, he'll be there. He'll be there. His presence will be there. So we're going to share some stuff about that, on what we're going to do on Wednesday nights. It's going to be more of a discipleship feel. So on Sundays, we have our services here, and I preach the word. We do worship. But I feel like the Lord wants to just take us even deeper, deeper in his word, focusing on the simplicity of Jesus, going further and further, and just asking the Lord to show us great things about him in his word. There's always something more to learn about him. There's always something more to learn about Jesus. And we're going to do that. And it's going to be discipleship. You know, the Bible actually says, go ye and make what? Disciples. Disciples. A disciple is someone who follows, who adheres to, who sticks close to, who learns from. If we never get to the place where we need to stop learning, amen, from Jesus, from him. And so we're going to actually kind of frame these a little bit different than like a small group. I mean, it could be like a small group setting. But I won't go into too much detail because I'll share a lot about it at the Serve Team Rally. But it's going to be discipleship, and we're going to go and send. Amen? It's not just enough to talk about it, right? We have to put legs to it. And I think God's going to bless that. So I'm going to preach to you this morning about, this is the title of the sermon, is, if these stones could talk. If these stones could talk. You know, how many of us have heard the old saying before, or we may have gone into an old house or an old building or a historic place, and we say, I wonder what this ground would say if it could actually talk to us, if it could actually recall to us what happened in this place. I wonder if I go into that old historic site, those walls, what would those walls say to me that went on in this house? And it brought me to a place where I think about the Word of God. There's one inanimate object that seems to always stick out to me in Scripture, and it's a stone. It's a stone. If you know me, I've preached a couple sermons on stones. But it's an inanimate object, and I began to think about different instances in the Bible where stones showed up. And the question came to my mind, what if this stone could talk? What if this stone that was found in the Word of God in multiple places, in multiple stories that we'll get to here in a minute, what if this stone could actually say something to you and me as a witness of what happened in the Bible? Have you ever wanted to step back in time those climactic moments in the Bibles, those big battles, those big moments in the Word of God. I think back to the moment, it pricks my heart every single time when I think about Jesus with his disciples. Before he was crucified, he's in the room and he tells them he's going to wash their feet. What would it be like to be in that room, just a fly on the wall, right? To hear Jesus say, take off your sandals, I'm going to wash your feet. Could you imagine the presence of God in that room? The feeling, the weightiness, the heaviness. And as different disciples, they said, no, Jesus, you don't do that to me. I wash your feet. No, Jesus says, I come to serve. I'm going to do it. I think about these moments, the Last Supper. Jesus is sharing with his disciples before he goes to the cross. These moments, what was it like to be in the room? What would it be like if those walls could talk? So I begin to ask myself, what if these stones could talk? And the first story that comes to my mind is a very famous story. It's probably my favorite story in the Bible. It's the story of David and Goliath. The story of David and Goliath. What would the stones say that David, when he picked those up, a little shepherd boy? I'm going to tell the story. You know the story, but I'm going to tell it. It's good to know the story, right? David is a little shepherd boy. He's out in the fields. He's playing his harp. There's something special about that because his life with God begins in the secret place, right? The intimate place where it's just him. It's just David, a harp, It's just David, a harp, and those sheep. And he's just singing praises to God. That's where life with God begins, is in the secret place. You can't tell me that God wasn't speaking to David in that moment. And when those lions would come up and when those bears would come up and they'd try to take those sheep and David would wrestle them things down and he would kill those things, it would be a testimony. One day that when David became king, it would be a testimony. He said, look, God brought me through the lion, that lion rug that I have in my house, that bear, what do you call that, a pelt, I guess, that's hanging on the wall. Rodney would know. That thing you got hanging on the wall, that's a testimony. When I was alone with God, he took care of me. And now as a king of Israel, he's going to take care of God's people. Life begins with God in the secret place. I don't know why I'm going there, but I'm going there for a moment. That's where life begins. So David finds himself, his brothers are on the front line of the battle, right? We all know the story. Goliath is out there. He's taunting the children of Israel. They're in battle already. They're lined up. They're ready to go. And the Philistines send out their great warrior, Goliath. And the children of Israel are like, well, we're pretty much all scared, so I don't know who we're going to send out. And all of a sudden, David, the shepherd boy, comes up. And what is his words? I love this. Who is this man that he would defy the armies of the living God? Woo! If these stones could talk. Because at that point, right, David goes and he goes down to the brook. They tried to put him in a big old suit of armor and it wasn't fitting right. He said, this ain't me. This ain't me. I'm a shepherd. So he goes down to the brook and he picks up. I got five of them here. Can't all hold them in one hand. Five smooth stones. If these stones could talk. When David picked them up and said, I'm going to use this to kill me a giant. Because this is what God told me to do. So David, he goes back. He's got his five smooth stones. Come on, as he's walking back, think about what he's doing. He's walking back. He's probably praying, isn't he? God, I don't know what you got me doing, but I got these stones in my hand. I know I got a slingshot. I'm going to have to make this work. If these stones could hear what David was saying. And David gets to the battle. And they said to him, they said, son, you can go. So he goes out there to the front. He takes that sling and he tells Goliath what he's going to do. He said, today the Lord has given you into my hand. And so he takes that stone and he puts it in the sling and he turns it around. If those stones could talk. What if that stone in that sling, that one that he had chosen, if it could talk, what would it say? Say it's going to take some faith, right? So he slings it, and he slings it. All of a sudden, that lets that thing, releases that go, and it hits Goliath straight in the head. He falls over dead. And Goliath, and David says, I'm going to seal the deal. And he takes that sword, right? And he stands over Goliath's head. And he chops his head off and he holds it up and said, this is the one that God has given us into our hands today. What would these stones say if they saw that moment, if they could speak? Woo. I'll tell you what they'd say. They'd say, little is much in the hand of God. Oh, I feel that. Little is much in the hand of God. God can take the foolish things and he can confound the wise. They tried to give him a suit of armor. David says, no, I want a sling. That's what I've used all the time. That's how I've been out there slaying those animals before with those sheep. I want a sling and a rock. Give it to me. He'll take the foolish things and he'll confound the wise. Woo! It might not look much to some people, but in the hands of God, it's something. Your life might not seem at times like much to you, but a life given over to the hand of God is a life that he can use. Does somebody believe it in this house this morning? Little is much when it's in the hand of God. Ooh, I serve a mighty God. We are but dust, and I remind myself at a time, but I also remind myself that we are a royal priesthood, a chosen generation, holy and set apart, and nothing is possible. Amen? When you get a weapon that God has designed in your hand, those stones, I think they would say things like this. We're vessels in the hands of God. You're clay. How many of you remember that? We're clay in the potter's hand. We're used of God. David was clay in the hands of the potter. Lord, make me like that. That all that I am, Jesus, all that, make me pliable, make me teachable, make me humble, make me meek, so that when I'm in the hands of God, I can be used for his glory. I'm picking up the wrong stone. We'll get to that in a second. What does it say? Exodus. Oh, I'm going to say this too. One more day. What would this stone say? God is fighting for you. God is fighting for you. He's for you. Sometimes we think we have to be the ones who muster up the energy all the time. But God says, I'm fighting for you. You say, Clinton, how do you know? Because the Bible says to stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Time and time again, when the children of Israel, think about the story of Gideon. He cut his army down from 3,000 to 300. And he said, stand still, watch, I'll do it. Watch and see the salvation of the Lord. Exodus 14, 13 through 14. You don't have to flip there, but you can write it down. Exodus 14. 13 through 14. The Bible says, and Moses said to the people, fear not, stand firm, and see the salvation of the Lord. Man, I love that. Ooh, it's good when you can just stand still and see God do his work. That's much easier, right? It makes it a whole lot easier. Somehow we've got it in our minds in church today that we got to work it up, we got to muster it up, we got to do all this stuff. We got to have this and that and this to make it work. And God says, just come to me. Pray, fast, seek my face, stand still and see the salvation of God. We go through some things, but we know we're walking with him, hand in hand. And Moses said to the people, fear not, stand firm and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will work for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall never see again. The Lord will fight for you. Man, I feel that for somebody. The Lord will fight for you. And you have only to be silent. It's a good thing, right? With God, just be silent. You know, I was reading the scripture the other day when Jesus says in the Bible, when he's talking to us about how to pray, he says, when you pray, say. When you pray, say. You remember this, Austin, from that teaching from Holy Spirit? When you pray, say. That tells me that sometimes when we're already praying, we don't have to be saying anything. We could just be sitting still in silence. Our life is a prayer. Our life is worship to God. If we spend time alone with Him in the secret place, when you pray, then God sometimes will prompt you to say, right? So in the moment, in the stillness, we have to be willing to listen to God too. And that's what David did. That's how he was used. If these stones could talk, they would say, God is powerful. He's all powerful. There's another story in the Bible that deals with stones. The woman caught in adultery. This woman, she was brought out. She was dragged out into the city center. She was thrown down at the feet of Jesus. And they say, Jesus, we caught this woman in adultery. Basically, they're trying, as they always do, they're trying to catch Jesus in a moment, right? To see if he'd contradict himself, to see if he'd say something that they could peg him on and say, no, that ain't right. But they brought him out. They said, look, this woman's caught in adultery. The law of Moses says to stone her, right? To stone her, to use this stone. So he's sitting there. What does the Bible say? Jesus, first he kneels down. Then he begins to write in the sand, right? Some people say it's different things. You know, I'm not going to speculate on it. Some people say it's that he was writing their sins. The people who were about to stone them. Or stone the woman. And so he begins writing in the sand. And what does the Bible say happened? And one by one, those who had these big stones in their hand, about if this stone could talk, if those stones in the hands of those people could talk as they were about to be lurched right at that woman, that poor woman, laying on the ground, ashamed, open, everything that she, you know, all of her dignity just laid out at the feet of Jesus. These stones, if this stone could say something. But the Bible says that when Jesus began to write in the sand, what is it? One by one, they dropped their stones. Actually, if you look at the scripture, it says from oldest to youngest, they dropped their stones. I think that has significance because what did Jesus say next? He said, you without sin, be the first one to cast the stone. And we know as we get older, we realize we're not without sin. As the older we get, we realize we've messed it up. We've missed the mark. So one by one, as those stones, if I had a ground I could drop it on right now, I would. One by one, those stones began to drop. If these stones could talk, what would they say? I think I'd say this. All of us have sinned. All of us have sinned. None of us are without sin. He's a God of forgiveness. He doesn't want you to live in shame. He doesn't want you to stay in shame. These stones would say, when Jesus picks you up off the ground and your accusers start to leave one by one, He empowers you by the power of His grace to go and sin no more. But it starts with an act of forgiveness. Come on, somebody. That we realize, what did Jesus say? He said, stop trying to take that big old, that speck out of your brother's eye when you got a big old plank or log in your own eye. That's the word of God. Those stones would say, He empowers you to go and sin no more. Your shame and your sin can drop as just as fast as those stones into the ground. God is a God of mercy. So number one, God is an all-powerful God. That's what that stone would say. Number two, God is a God of mercy. The Bible actually says that mercy is better than God desires mercy over judgment, right? That's what the Word of God says. Number three, the final story. Actually, the second to last story. The final story. The children of Israel crossing the Jordan. How many of you remember that story? The children of Israel are heading out. And they didn't just cross the Red Sea. They actually crossed, there's another story, they crossed the River Jordan. What does the Bible say they did? God told them, He instructed them to take the Ark of the Covenant, to put the Ark of the Covenant on the poles that they used to carry, that they used to bear, and that the priest would bear. And as they walked across the water, as the priest's foot stepped into the water would be shut up way upstream, right? If you actually read the story, it doesn't say it was like the Red Sea where it just parted like this. It actually says that they stepped into the water, and then up from them, the water stopped. And then it flowed down, and then they could cross over on dry ground. Everything in the Bible has significance. It has significance, every little thing. And you know what? You know what I thought about when I thought of this? Just this extra right here. When God is working in your life, it doesn't always seem like it's happening immediately, right? You're doing the right things. You're praying. You're fasting like we did. We sought God. We sought Him. But you might not even know it, but way upstream, God's already prepared the way. He's already making a way. He's already providing for you to walk over on dry ground. How many of you can ever testify to that? That you've prayed years and years in advance, right? You still don't understand, God, I'm doing what you said to do. I'm standing on your promises. But God says, even when you don't see it, I'm working and I'm providing. If those stones, which we're going to talk about in a second, could talk, they would say that God is a God of provision. Whew, we need to hear that. God will provide for us. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. What does His word say? And I will supply all your needs according to my riches in glory. That's a hard promise. I'm just going to be honest. That's a hard promise for me to realize sometimes when you're looking at the bank account and there's hardly anything left and everything's breaking down. But somewhere upstream, come on somebody, somewhere upstream, God is making a way. When the doctor's report doesn't look good, when your marriage seems to be suffering, somewhere upstream, God is working. Amen? He's working on your behalf. So what happened? They stood in the river and they walked across the river on dry ground. And what did the Bible say to do? It said to build a memorial of stones to God. I love that in the Old Testament when they would build stones, right? Because then they would build memorials and they would stack them because that was their way. They probably didn't have the elaborate building structures we have today, but that was their way. They were nomadic people. So as they would journey back around and they would travel around, they'd see, they could tell their children. And their grandchildren and their great grandchildren. You know why I feel this? Because I had grandparents who didn't have a whole lot, but who believed in the provision of the mighty hand of God. They were farmers, amen. And they didn't always have a whole lot of money, but they had God and they trusted in the hand of God to provide. And they would tell me, and I'm going to tell my children, and they told my dad that there was a God who provided when it got hard. Even if you didn't come into a whole lot of money or anything like that, God will make a way. Woo, that's the God we serve. I feel my faith rising now just preaching about it. And so what they would do is they would take these stones and they would build them up as a memorial. So when they would pass through, God said, build me a stone, 12 stones. Put them up here. And so when you come back, you remember what I did here in this moment. I felt like that movie, Remember the Titans. Remember the night you played the Titans. Remember. I love that movie. Those stones would say He's a God of provision. His presence is more than enough. You know, the Ark of the Covenant was what? It was the presence of God. And when the presence of God hit the water, that's when it stopped. The presence of God is more than enough. Sometimes as I'm worshiping and I think, oh man, I wish we had this. God asks me, am I enough for you? Am I enough? His grace is sufficient. He's all we need. Give me Jesus, right? Like we say. All right, we're wrapping this thing up. What would those stones say? What would they say? As a memorial to God. Number one, He's a God of power. Number two, He's a God of forgiveness. And number three, He's a God of provision. But the greatest thing a stone could ever say, oh, I feel it now, was a stone 2,000 years ago. I feel the anointing now. That was rolled in the front of a borrowed tomb. Ooh, I feel that now. What if that stone could say something? That stone that was rolled in front of the tomb, that sealed the grave, the borrowed tomb at that. Have you ever thought about that? Jesus didn't even have his own tomb. He had a borrowed tomb. The stone was rolled in front of the grave, sealed, shut. The devil thought it was over. Your salvation is gone. He's dead. He's lifeless. And they put the anointing oil, the burial oils. The Romans, they didn't even want to do that. Nobody wanted to do that. And some people said, yeah, we got to properly bury Jesus. We got to anoint him. Think about this. The Savior of the world. They cried Hosanna as he came into the town. They saw his miracles, like I talked about earlier. They said the books couldn't even contain everything that he did. And all of a sudden, he doesn't even have a proper burial. But what if that stone could talk? Woo! As it rolled in front of that grave, and there was a guard standing next to the stone. Why was there a guard standing there? Because they were scared. The rulers of the day were scared. The Pharisees, the Israeli rulers of the day were scared. They said, the disciples are going to come in the middle of the night, and they're going to take his body, and they're going to say that he didn't raise from the grave. He was stolen. His body was taken. Right? So they put a guard in front of that stone. Woo. But when Jesus went into hell, the underworld, and he took back the keys to death, hell, and the grave, and he preached the redemption story of Jesus, right? He led captivity. He led the captive out of captivity. Amen? That's what the Bible says. What would that stone say as the Holy Spirit of God touched the body of Jesus and that lifeless body began to breathe? That was the perfect song this morning. The lifeless body began to breathe and the stone was rolled away. What would that stone say? That stone would say that we serve a resurrected God. A living, man, I feel that, a living God. He can take the dead places and make them live again. What would that stone say on the third day as an angel sat there and they came back to see? They said, where is Jesus? And what did the angel do? The angel stood up. He said, the one you seek, the dead one you seek, he's not here anymore. You're seeking the living among the dead. Jesus has risen from the grave. That's the greatest stone ever, right? The one, what if that stone could talk? Because that is our salvation, right? That's our salvation. That Jesus died on a cross. That he was buried. And that he resurrected. And there is resurrection power now available to you and to me. Isn't that amazing? But let's be honest. Stones really can't talk, can they? They can't. We can't go back in time and ask David, or ask those stones that David held in his hand, and say, what were you, what did you say when David picked you up to take you to fight the Goliath? But you and I, we can. We can worship. We can praise. We can remember the resurrected Jesus. That when the stone was rolled away, he walked out victorious over death, hell, and the grave. You know, the Bible actually says, don't let the rocks cry out. Don't let the stones cry out. Jesus said, if you don't praise me, the rocks will. Come on, can you stand with me this morning? All of the earth is yearning and groaning for the coming of Jesus. The Spirit, the Bible says that the Spirit of God, which he sent to us, and the bride say, come. So even though these rocks don't cry out. The Bible says that you and I cry out, and the Spirit and the bride, you and I, say come. The Spirit and the bride say come. We want you to come, Jesus. Come on, lift your hand. If you don't praise Him, the rocks will. If you don't worship Him, the earth is yearning and groaning for the coming of Jesus. If we don't give Him what He deserves, the earth is quaking and shaking and yearning and groaning. But you and I, paired with the Holy Spirit, the Spirit and the bride, say come. Come on, let's just worship Him for a few moments. I believe the Lord's already done His work. But I believe in these last few minutes that if there is any area of your life that says, what if that stone that was placed in front of the tomb, what if that stone could talk? I'm telling you this morning, that stone would say that you can be resurrected too. Your life can be made new as well. And that we need to praise Him because He's worthy. Come on, let's just find a place for 2 minutes. Or you can just lift your hands as Kayla sings, whatever you feel like doing. I'm going to leave it up to you. But I just want us to praise God for a moment. Let's just praise Him and say, God, we will be the ones to praise You. We will be the ones to lift up Your name. The earth is groaning, but so are we. The Spirit and the bride say, come, Lord Jesus. The Spirit and the bride say, come. If those stones could talk, folks, they would say, God is powerful. He's powerful in your life. They would say, God is merciful. He's shown us mercy that we didn't deserve. And those stones would say that God is a God of provision, and He will provide for every need. And lastly, those stones would say, God is not dead, but He is alive. Come on, let's praise Him. Father, we praise You, Jesus. We worship You this morning. We choose to be the people that praise You, God, that magnify You, that exalt You, Jesus, that give You the glory You deserve, God. We worship Your name. We magnify You, Jesus. We glorify You, Jesus. The Spirit and the bride say, come. Fill us with joy, God. This people, God, if there's any place in their life that feels dead or dormant, God, that they would be resurrected, that it would be resurrected, Jesus. Places in their life that they never felt that they would feel joy or happiness or hope or peace or love ever again, God. We consult the stone that said that You're risen, You're living, and I pray that You raise the dead places in our life, Jesus. We worship You this morning. We praise You this morning. We glorify Your name, Jesus. Glorify Your name, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's it, Kayla. Just sing. Justin's dad came home from the hospital. Praise God. Amen. He came home from the hospital. He's doing better, right? But he's still not 100%. So Justin, I'm going to have you stand in the gap for him. We're going to lay hands on Christy as well. She's a surgeon. And then Crystal. Crystal's friend Matthew, he's still in the hospital. He's back in the hospital, right? He's back in the hospital. He has a blood clot and different things. He's gone through a tremendous amount of stuff. Crystal could probably fill you in, but a tremendous amount of stuff. And these people need a resurrection, right? They need the life of God in them. And we're going to pray that everything goes well with this surgery for Christy, that Justin's dad, amen, he's going to make a 100% recovery, better than it was to begin with. And then Matthew, right, he's going to be whole. in the name of Jesus. Is there anybody else? Because I don't want to miss. Does anybody else need prayer? You can go ahead and step forward. I don't want to exclude any situation or anybody that needs prayer. But if not, can we just circle around these people right here and let's lay hands on them? We're going to anoint them with oil.
Be the sacrifice.
And I want you, the church, amen. That's what the Bible says. Come behind them, lay hands on them. Put your hand on their shoulder, their back there. We're just going to pray for them, okay? We're going to pray for them. Come on, let's pray the prayer of faith. Amen. That's what the Word of God says. No doubt. Let's pray the prayer of faith for them. Jesus, we pray over Bruce right now. In the name of Jesus, God, you see Justin and Chelsea, their heart for him, Jesus. Everything that he's gone through, everything that he's dealt with, Jesus. Every bit of sickness and uncomfortableness that he's dealt with, Lord. Lord God, not being able to eat solid foods, Lord Jesus, just on liquids, God. But we believe now, we focus on the good, that you are the healer. And so right now, by the authority given to us, by the power of Jesus, we do as your word said. We do as your word says, God. And we anoint them with oil as they stand in the gap. And as they intercede, Lord Jesus, we declare healing in the name of Jesus over their bodies. Over their bodies, Lord. Right now, I just see him, Justin. He's being healed in the name of Jesus. That tear will be no more. That it will be healed in the name of Jesus. He will regain his strength in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, God. Lord, every hindrance, everything that would try to put itself in the way of his healing, we declare he is whole and well. Man, I feel the healing of God. I feel it. We believe it. It's a pillar of this house. Signs, miracles, and wonders in healing for his body. That it would be a testimony, God, that coincidence could not take the credit for what is done in him, in Jesus' name. Come on, let's pray. Keep praying. Father, in the name of Jesus, we pray for Christy, God, as she goes in for this surgery tomorrow. Lord God, we know that your hand is upon her. Your hand is with every single doctor. But we know first and foremost, Jesus, that you, oh, I feel it, are the great physician, God. You are the great physician. And so we declare healing and wholeness and wellness, Jesus. That heart would beat as it should, God. We declare it in the name of Jesus. Body, heart, line up with the word of God. Line up with it, Lord Jesus. God, every hindrance, everything that tries to stand in the way, God, we declare that you are healer. You are the healer. You are the God that healeth us, Lord Jesus. So I declare this surgery would go well. I pray the doctors would be amazed, Lord God, that she would be free of any medication in the future, God, that her heart would be perfect. In the name of Jesus, man, I feel the anointing of God. He's doing something. Father, in the name of Jesus, we pray for Matthew right now, God, this family, this precious couple. God, you see them in the hospital, the journey they've been on, the battles that they've had to face, Jesus, God, the unexplained things, the questions, God. But I pray that their faith wouldn't stay dormant, God. Let faith rise on the inside of them as Crystal stands in the gap this morning and intercedes. God, we pray healing. We believe in it in the name of Jesus. The blood clots would dissipate even now. We declare, we proclaim that blood clot has to dissipate. Blood clot, dissipate in the name of Jesus. All pneumonia, all signs of labored breathing, God, would leave in the name of Jesus, that he would be restored. Whole and healthy, never going back to the hospital again, Lord. That he would stay out of the hospital for good, Jesus. That you're the great physician, and we believe it. Come on, let's thank God for the testimony that's going to come out of this. God, we thank you for what you've already done, and we thank you for what you're going to do, God. That the testimony of healing, we believe it and we receive it in the name of Jesus. Thank you. Thank you. Anybody else need prayer before we leave? Anybody else? All right. Well, if not, you can grab me later. We can pray together. Amen. All right. I love you guys. Austin, can you pray first? Yeah, go ahead. Yeah. Does someone want to grab my one? I don't mean to get you. Grab one. Now. We're going to pray for my mom. For those of you that don't know, she has an autoimmune thing. With her thyroid, and it's called Hashimoto's. It really affects her immunity, so like she's here every other week to teach the kids, but then there's some weeks she just gets sick all the time, so she can't be here because her immune system is really lowered. So She's really struggled with that, being tired all the time, being sick all the time, not, you know, having to modify a diet, all that stuff that goes along with the thyroid issue. So I'm glad she said that, because I've been meaning to get her in here to pray for her. So we're going to pray for her. Amen. God is good, isn't he? Praying for healing. Y'all know that's where I get my crying from. I got two crying there. Nothing wrong with that. Come on. Let's lay hands on him. Amen. Jesus. Come on. Let's pray the prayer of faith that heals the sick. Jesus. Jesus, we declare healing over her body in the name of Jesus. Every hindrance, God, everything that tries to stand in the way of complete healing in her body, we declare that it has to go in the name of Jesus. Body, line up with the word of God. Thyroid, line up with the word of God. That's it. Just keep praying. I feel the anointing. Father, we worship you. We praise you. Just praise him, God. You're the healer. You're the anointer, Jesus, God. The healing balm of Gideon is flowing. Oh, Gilead, it's flowing in Jesus' name. The flowing, it's flowing in the room. Healing is flowing in the room. Every need is met in the name of Jesus. Lord, touch it, God. If we could go back and talk to that stone that was rolled from the grave, that stone would say that there's resurrection life. Lord, in the name of Jesus. So I pray that you resurrect those places that try to stay dead. God, that try to not function like they should. We declare that they are made whole in the name of Jesus. From the top of her head to the soles of her feet, we do what the word of God says, to bring the sick before the church, anoint them with oil, and the prayer of faith will save the sick. Man, I feel I just feel it. Come on, somebody, even if you need to get prayed for, if you need healing, just lift your hands right now. The healing is coming from on high. Healing is coming from on high. Healing is coming from on high. Healing is coming from, oh, Rebo Sunda Rebo Sunda Rebo Sunda. Healing is coming from on high. Healing is coming from on high. Healing is coming. Ooh, I just feel it. We believe in God. Signs, miracles, and wonders. We believe in the fullness of healing. We believe that healing is for today, at this moment, at this place and time, in the name of Jesus. Come on, just worship. I feel like the Lord says, worship me. If you worship me, you might get your breakthrough. We worship, well, you will get your breakthrough. If you worship him, you will get your breakthrough. We worship you, Jesus. We worship you, Jesus. Any kid in the kids' ministry, God, if they need healing, Lord, touch them now. All those kids, those 8 to 10 kids in there, if they need healing in their body, touch those children. Touch those children, Jesus. They're the hope. They're the future. They're the set apart for the kingdom of God. Touch them, Lord Jesus, with the healing hand of God. Breakthrough is coming in the name of Jesus. Breakthrough. Breakthrough is coming in the name of Jesus. Rubble, rubble, heartbeat in the name of Jesus. Heartbeat as you should in the name of Jesus. Heartbeat as you should in the name of Jesus. Healing, healing. Astound the doctors, that you would astound every single autoimmune doctor in the name of Jesus. Woo! Healing for Matthew in the name of Jesus. Healing for Crystal. Call in the name of Jesus. Healing, Jesus. For Dawn, in the name of Jesus. For Norman and for Dawn, God, we pray. We cry out to heaven for you, to you, Jesus. We cry out to heaven on their behalf. We stand in the gap, Jesus. Healing, healing, wholeness, God. That we would be a healthy people in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Healing in the name of Jesus. Healing in the name of Jesus. sing it. Jesus, we come before you. Oh, Jesus. Lord, I pray. I just see her now, God. Sitting there, God. You're going to heal her. You're healing her now as we speak, Jesus. You're healing Chelsea right now. That eye is going to be made whole in the name of Jesus. No pink eye. As soon as she comes home, God, she just would be keep touching it because she don't understand why it's gone. That it's whole. That she can see clearly, Lord Jesus. God, no irritation. In the name of Jesus, we declare, I be made whole. Be made whole in the name of Jesus. I be made whole in the name of Jesus Christ. We believe that you're the healer. We believe that you're the healer, God. You heal us. You're the God that heals Chelsea. In the name of Jesus, be made whole in the name of Jesus. Oh, we pray for Kayla, God. We pray for this baby, Jesus. That you would protect this baby in the womb, God. That you would protect this baby, Lord. Lord Jesus. Oh God, that the anointing of God would be on this baby, God. So strong, Jesus. The anointing would flow in this baby, Jesus. Lord God, no complications, no irritation, God. I pray that Kayla would feel well at all times. In the name of Jesus. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost. You would protect this baby, God. You would cover this baby with your feathers, Lord Jesus, that we would hide in the secret place. And we would dwell in the secret place and hide in the shadow of the Almighty God. Lord God, as Caitlin worships, that this baby would hear the sounds of heaven. That he would hear the sounds of heaven, Jesus. Anybody else need prayer this morning? All right. Listen, y'all know y'all can call me anytime. Fill out a connect card. Let me know what's going on, and I'll be there for you. Let's see if we got any announcements. Y'all know the drill. You can give to the offering if you want. The Lord will bless you. He'll bless your faithfulness to the house of God. You can earmark that towards the building fund if you want to do that. You can earmark that online with the QR code or with the check or cash. You can do it that way. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for the serve team, I think most of or all of you have, that's next Sunday. We'll be here next Sunday, 10 a.m. We'll also be at Feta, 5 to 8 p.m. I'm so excited for what God's going to do with this go and tell thing, these discipleship sessions. Super excited. The Lord spoke so strongly to me about that. If you also, your contribution statements for 2022, you should have got them in your email. So if anybody's asking about them, they should have gotten your email. If you didn't get them, we have to the 31st, so let me know, and I can print you a paper copy, or if you want me to try to resend the email if you're having trouble, there's different ways you can do it. You should have got it as an attachment, but you can also go on to MyApplos and create an account, and you can download it throughout the year if you want to, honestly, and see where you're at during the year with your giving. So if you had any trouble with that at all, or need it sent in a different format, let me know, and we'll get it to you. that way. So I think that is it. Am I missing anything else? All right. Austin, can you pray for us, buddy?
Austin's going to dismiss us.
Lord, we thank you for today, God. We thank you for this house, Jesus. We thank you, God, for what you did in here today, Lord, that we don't take it for granted, God, that your presence, God, is always powerful and thick, God, in this room, God, that nothing else matters, Lord. It's simply about you, Lord, and about your presence. And God, we don't take for granted what's taking place here, God, and Lord, that we teach ourselves to learn to be humble and to appreciate small beginnings, God, for your foundation that's being set upon us, Lord. I felt that strong this week, Jesus, Lord, that you've been speaking that to me. And that the right people are here, God, that you begin to strengthen us throughout our week. God, begin to speak to each and every one of us, Lord God. I thank you for what you did for each of us on this fast, God. Continue to let us live a lifestyle of fasting and praying, God, and it just becomes something that we do. We adapt that in our everyday life, Jesus. Lord, I bless this house and the people that are in it. God, may we go out this week and God, reach people, God, in our workplace, Lord, that we may not be able to reach anywhere else, Jesus. We thank you for growth and expansion, God, in this house. Caitlin, God, for their vision, Lord, that we come alongside them, God, and we're here for them as they are here for us, Jesus. We thank you, God, and we seal what you're doing. We bless you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
I'll text Ron.
Okay.